This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the free version of the Michael Savage podcast, and I'm going to keep it free for all of you. But there are many of you who would love to be able to listen to my show without any ads. I love ads, but many of you want to listen to the podcast free of ads. So we created something for you, a solution. We call it the Savage Premium. For less than the price of one flat, tasteless beer at your local bar, you can receive access to all of my podcasts going back years ad-free for just $3.99. That's it, $3.99 a month. You'll get not only my ad-free podcast, but you will also occasionally receive access to material that is exclusive for members only, and I'm going to give you the list in a minute of what you've missed. You're going to get an occasional monologue from me, maybe a reading from one of my novels, sneak peeks of interviews before anyone else hears them, archive pieces dating back to 1994. Many things that come up, you're going to get exclusive access to Michael Savage material. Details can be seen on my website, michaelsavage.com, and if you want to join, all you got to do is go to glow.fm and search Savage Premium. That's glow.fm and search Savage Premium. Now, you will always have access to my free weekly podcast. I want to be clear about that. That's my promise to you. But if you want less ads and more Savage, join the Savage Premium Club today and never miss a spoken word of mine. It's glow.fm/savagepremium. You can find it on michaelsavage.com. And here's some of the stuff that you have missed so far. Michael Savage reading from his best-selling novel, Countdown to Mecca. My words, my voice. Savage reads from one of his lost journals, Fiji, 1968. Savage's first drive-time show, Hour One. My interview with the Jewish gangster, very popular. I read from my first written published article, Who Is at the Helm, from 1965. It's heard nowhere but on my premium site. I read passages from my novel, Abuse of Power. We replayed Fat Al's Tuna. My Savage show from 324.94, the earliest show in the archive, 324.94. My interview with Donald Trump from 110.2011. 110.2011, while Mark Levin was mocking him and Sean Hannity was mocking him and the others were mocking him, I was interviewing Trump. Much more. And remember, subscribers also get ad-free podcasts every week. The cost is less than a beer at a bar, and you get a better buzz with the Savage Premium. So go to glow.fm/savagepremium for full access to ad-free podcasts and exclusive sound you'll not hear anywhere else. Thank you very much. I'm just reflecting on Savage cars, the cars in Savage, all the cars I own, from a scooter I built out of wood all the way to the new Corvette convertible. Before COVID, it was the first Saturday of every month, guys would show up with their cars. Some were expensive, some were just interesting, kind of muscle cars, all the way up to Aston Martin's, new Ferraris. I've been crazy about cars ever since I built my first scooter out of an orange crate, a 2x4, and a roller skate. That's right, back in the Bronx when I was a little boy, we were poor, and I wanted a scooter. My father taught me how to build one. It was real simple. Take a roller skate, take it apart, front part of skate, back part of skate, screw them on and nail them onto a 2x4, then take an orange crate and attach the orange crate to the front of the 2x4. Now all you need is a steering wheel, so you put two sticks on it, right and a left, and the brake is your shoe, and we shoot down the hills. Ever since then, I've been kind of nuts about cars. I mean, there was a phase that I went through, oh, cars are BS, you know, they are ruining the planet. That was a long time ago till I realized You can say all you want, but everybody drives a car or is in someone else's car or is in someone's conveyance of one kind or another. So let me start with today. I bought a new Corvette. I got it a week ago. It's a C8 car convertible, and it's probably the most advanced technology of a car I have ever seen in my life. In fact, a guy I know who rebuilds the most expensive cars in the world said to me, I just was in touch with him, I haven't seen him, he says, congratulations on your car. The new Corvettes are amazing pieces of technology, especially when one thinks of the time frame from the 1953 introduction to now. A short leap from then to now in the grand scheme of time, yet a huge movement in technology. And he's rebuilding cars. He's rebuilding real Cobras, the AC Bristol, Cunningham C3, unbelievable cars, great guy, wonderful man, and he restores the top of the line cars. So let me go back to all my cars, because it's July 4th weekend. I don't know when you're listening to this. Maybe you're listening to this a year from now, but it doesn't matter. So we'll take you back in time with a little sound, and I'll try to remember all the cars in my life, and we'll see where we go. Let's see. Let's begin with the first car my dad bought me. My rough, tough, old world dad. I don't know how old I was. 17? 17. So it was a rainy day, rainy evening, dusk, Queens, New York, attached house, 7310 Utopia Parkway, on a busy kind of turnpike parkway, attached house. And he says, Michael, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we go out. It was around 7 o'clock at night now because it was dark and it was a light rain. And I remember sitting in the car with my father who bought it for me. And it was a two-door businessman's Oldsmobile. It must have been a 59 Olds. I don't know what year this was. It was the least expensive of all the Oldsmobiles, but the Oldsmobile was a hot car. I didn't want a two-door salesman's car. I wanted the two-door hardtop, but I took what I could get. It had the regular, you know, fast V8 engine. I remember sitting in that car with my father and watching the raindrops form on the windshield and just watch the raindrops form on the windshield. I don't even know what I was thinking other than this is beautiful. Fast forward, car memories. Cars I've owned and cars I've been in wrecks in. So I'll talk about when I was in a wreck in. Later on in my teen years, I bought a Chrysler New Yorker. I wanted the 300. Who could afford that with the big Hemi engine? So I got the family car, the Chrysler New Yorker. It happened to have a huge Hemi engine in it. It was a fast monster of a four-door car, and I raced all over the city with it. One day, some guy sideblinded me, just smashed into the door, ripped the car to shreds. But the car was so big, made of such heavy steel, luckily I wasn't hurt. I had it towed home in front of that house. I have so many memories looking out of that little window at the cars going by. So my car sat in front of the house on Utopia Parkway for a while. And I realized it was beyond repair. So one word led to the other. I knew mechanics and this and that. And a guy wants to buy the car for the engine. He was some Hell's Angel from Brooklyn or the Bronx. I don't know. Really rough, tough guy. Nice enough guy because he was doing business. Wanted to buy the car for the engine. I must have sold it to him for $50. I have no recollection. Luckily, I wasn't wrecked. I'll talk about another car wreck just for the hell of it before I talk about the pleasure stuff. I don't know the summer. Again, must have been the summer of 59, summer of 60, South Fallsburg, New York. There was this kid, Larry, whose father owned the hotel. And I can't mention the hotel. One of them is probably still alive. His father was a tough guy, a genuinely tough street fighter type, an ex-boxer, which was unusual for a Jewish family at the time. But he was a rough guy. If he didn't like someone working in his hotel, opened up their mouth to him, he'd punch him out and throw them off the property. That's the kind of guy. He ran it like a concentration camp. He was a mean bastard. So his son Larry and I became friends. Larry was a bit of a schmendrick. I can't explain it. There was something off with him, but I liked him. He was a nice guy. So Larry had a crazy part of him, and I don't mean just wild, I mean crazy. So here's what happens. We're driving on one of the winding roads coming down a mountain somewhere in the South Fallsburg area. A winding road, and to the left is a huge canyon. I don't mean the Grand Canyon, but a huge canyon. And to the right is a sheer wall. A sheer wall that had dynamited out to build this mountain road. And remember, another lane and then a drop-off, maybe 100 feet, 200 feet. So Larry's speeding in this car, coming up to this downturn, coming down the mountain, and I see his eyes go crazy. And he has his hands on the wheel, and he floors the car. And I said, Larry, you're going to kill us. And I see his eyes were glazed over, and he's looking straight ahead, and he's like, crazy. And I see the car is out of control. Well, it was out of control, and he froze. He froze at the wheel. I reached over with my left hand and grabbed the wheel and pulled it to the right and kicked his foot off the accelerator, and he was frozen on the wheel. He didn't even know what had happened. I said, Larry, you almost killed us. Now listen to this. Luckily, I pushed the car by pulling the wheel to the right and kicking his foot off it. It only grazed against the sheer wall and came to a stop, okay? It could have banged into it and flipped over, but it didn't. So later on, we get back to the hotel. That night, listen to this. The father, the tough father, tells the story about his son, Larry. He says, hey, did you hear what happened today? My son, Larry, was in the car, and Michael was driving, and he was out of control. And luckily, Larry grabbed the wheel and saved the car. I said, oh, my God, this is a true story, how people will twist the truth, okay? Is there anything new under the sun? Well, those are some of the wreck stories. I don't really have any others, thank God. There are a few others. I wrote about one of them. Highway 17, South Fallsburg, probably around the same time. In a 56 Plymouth with my uncle, who I love very dearly, and our whole family was in the car coming back from a ride somewhere. All of a sudden, we're on the road and we look to the right. It must have been a fresh accident. There's a car overturned, people laying all over the highway, some in the ditches, blood on the road, and smoke coming out of the other car. And it had just been creamed, flipped over, and people were dying on the side of the road. Just car memories, right? So now let's come up to the cars of my life. So many. And I don't know that they're in the right order. I've always been a Jaguar lover. I've always liked the brand. I guess poor guys always wanted a Jaguar. They thought it made them kind of aristocratic. And I always wanted a Jaguar, particularly in the late 50s. They were phenomenal cars. They were sort of the supercars of their time. I would say on the poor man's side, but you don't underestimate them. They were phenomenal cars. They won at Le Mans in the 50s. So the first Jag I recall buying was a 59 Jaguar XK150 drop head coupe, maroon, black leather. I still have pictures of it. And I bought it used, of course. You know, what year was this? 65, maybe. So it wasn't that expensive. And I thought I was some English nobility driving around in that car. I got a pipe. I used to smoke English ovals. God knows what else I did in that car. And the ending of that car is typical of a Jaguar of the time. I went into Manhattan. We used to speed around in that car in Central Park. And I parked it in the street, hung out all night at some friend's apartment. I come out in the morning, and I couldn't even get the car out of first gear. It was locked in first gear in a no parking zone, and dawn is rising. And they're going to tow that thing away, right? I had to get the car towed all the way back to Queens. I got so pissed off at the Jaguars. You know what I did? I had it towed right to a dealer on Queens Boulevard, a real gonif thief crook, a Mr. W. He dressed like a Jewish professor, but he was a car thief, a crook, a bum, a mook. And I said, Mr. Wolf, I'd like to sell you this car. Well, he knows. I'm just a kid. I sold it to him for about $100. Who the hell knows what he got for it? He probably fixed it up and made a profit. That's the business he was in. Well, years went on. I'm now living in the San Francisco area. I was living in Fairfax, California. And again, I had a little extra money working my ass off, going to grad school, trying to make a living, raising children, married. I bought XK140 drop head coupe in Costwall blue. That car was so beautiful. XK140 drop head coupe, Costwall blue, loved it. Then I bought a Actually, back in New York, I also bought a Mark 9. I remember now. My wife and I actually drove that Mark 9 to Canada. All the way to Canada and all the way back. That was another one. Then I got the XK140. Then I got a Mark 10 in California. Huge boat, beautiful car, space, pace, and grace. So if there's anything else that is notable, I will tell you about it. So far, nothing's really interesting, but I'm just reflecting on Savage cars, the cars in Savage, all the cars I've owned, from a scooter I built out of wood all the way to the new Corvette convertible that I bought a week ago. So another car comes to mind. And this car is one of the most phenomenal cars ever built. It's a 2006 Midnight Blue Mercedes S600. 2006 Midnight Blue S600. I'm in the radio career business. I'm at the top of my career. I'm national. The show is booming. So I get this car. It was a V12. And I mean, you can fall in love with cars. This thing, to this day, is one of the fastest sedans on the road. It will do 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. Now, think about the size of that car. It's not worth more than $10,000 or $15,000. It's like brand new. I keep it in a garage somewhere. I don't want to ever sell this car. I just love the thing. It was so advanced, so ahead of its time. You got to hand it to the German engineers. So that was a great car, a 2006 Mercedes S600. And I gave it a name. I give all of my cars a name currently. And that car is called Wilhelm. In fact, I wrote about Wilhelm in my first published commercial novel called Abuse of Power. And Jack Hatfield, who is the protagonist, drives an S600 whose name happens to be Wilhelm. So for those of you who bought my novel Abuse of Power, Wilhelm is actually a real car. And he is living in a garage in Los Angeles. Currently, I have, as I said, a new Corvette convertible. I never owned a Corvette in my life. Did I always want one? I don't know. When I was younger, as I said, I was into the sophisticated cars like Jaguars. But all of the muscle kind of kids drove the Vets if they could afford them, or the muscle cars. So I kind of wanted a Corvette. People said, no, that's for meatheads. You don't want a Corvette. I always wanted one. And they were terrible riding cars. They were bumpy. Everyone knew they were fast, but they didn't corner well. Well, this new one is not only super fast, 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds, I think. I don't know. I've never been there because it only got 150 miles on it. But it also is a race car. It's got, several modes, including touring, sport, and track. You can set any one of those settings. There's so many things I could tell you about it, and I think you could look it up on your own. The fact of the matter is, the new Vette, I think it's a C8 model, I'm not 100% sure what they call it, is probably one of the most advanced cars in the world right now. I call it a poor man's, hold it, new Corvette. I'm going to pump it into Google. They know everything here. New Corvette 2021. It's a Stingray mid-engine sports car, retractable hardtop. That's what I have. And I paid more over sticker than a Toyota costs to get the car. What they did was they copied a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. I call it a poor man's Lamborghini. But I never wanted a Lamborghini. I really didn't want to go talk to Guido to get a part out of Turin. This is a Chevy, and they really knocked it out of the park. The car's worth, I would guess these cars cost twice as much to build as they're selling them for. That's what it comes down to. 498 horsepower, 470 feet of torque, 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds, top track speed 194 miles an hour. I'll never get there. It's an LT2 V8 engine. Actually, it's an LT3 model that I have. And the engine is not visible through the rear hatch window on the convertible because the convertible top covers it. It's a head turner, and I went to this event today, and I'm talking about there were some really expensive Ferraris, Aston Martins there. There was a GT Aston Martin, must have cost $1 million. Everyone looked at my car because it's a marvel. It's a legacy and a marvel, and it's a beautiful car to own. And I decided, why am I buying this car now at this stage of my life? You know, my answer is, I don't want to get maudlin, because after many a summer dies the swan. And so what I'm saying to you is, how many summers do we all have left? I can get into the bigger picture of America. How many summers do we have left in this country? I don't have an answer to that, but I figured, gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Now, there are other cars that I've owned, that I have, that will sound like I'm boasting, and I don't want to just talk about cars and make you think I'm trying to boast, because I'm not. I can boast about some other things.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
Middle East on the brink, North Korea on the brink, Iran increasing its aggression, elections in Taiwan. Look, there's a lot of global instability as we ourselves plunge into primary season. How have you sheltered your savings and investments from potential major setbacks to the economy? You think it can happen here? It can happen here, but it's not too late to diversify an old IRA or 401k into gold. And Birch Gold Group can help you with that. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. As opposed to many other investments, gold thrives in times of uncertainty. It is an important part of diversifying your savings. Now listen, here's how Birch Gold can help make it a part of yours. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You want to learn more? Just text SAVAGE to 989898 for a free info kit. SAVAGE, text it to 989898 and you get a free info kit. It costs you nothing. Just text SAVAGE to 989898. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, I encourage you to arm yourself with the knowledge of diversification through precious metals. Protect yourself. Text SAVAGE to 989898 and claim your free info kit. Protect your savings with gold. Do it now. Text SAVAGE to 989898. Thank you very much. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. Text SAVAGE to 989898.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Come back from another car meetup. This is a totally different group. This is more of a muscle car, meathead kind of group. I'm talking 300-400 cars. Packed, unbelievable. There was one Lambo in the crowd, but it was mainly hot rods and muscle cars. I really didn't fit in, but I figured they'd love the vet because everybody wants to see this car. And luckily, a few people knew me who were very conservative politically. So I was surrounded by three large men and a woman who were friendly. And they liked my Z51 Corvette, the Stingray, rear axle performance ratio, which is a Z51 performance ratio, a Z51 rear spoiler, electronic limited slip differential, Z51 performance suspension, Z51 brakes, performance exhaust, a heavy-duty cooling system. It has a front lift adjustable height memory so you don't crash the car when you're going in and out of a riser. And it has 19-inch front and 20-inch rear carbon flash-painted aluminum wheels with machined edges. And it's a great car. Everyone was interested in how it worked, and I had a lot of fun being there. But on my way back, I started thinking about today's podcast. I want to go back to my Cadillacs. Many of you remember my red 65 Cadillac DeVille convertible. That car was on stage with me at the Concord Pavilion. I love that car. I bought it in 1994 when I began in radio. I bought it new. Used. That was a used one. It was primo. Love that car. My son used it in a July 4th parade when he was running for office as an assemblyman. I sold it a number of years back. It's still running somewhere, I think, in the north, in the Midwest somewhere. Great car. Love that car. Enormously red Caddy 65. It symbolized when the chrome was thick and the women were straight to me. Now, again, Cadillacs. My dad's dream, he was poor, was to own a Cadillac, and he always bought used Cadillacs if he could afford them. So I, in 1978, when I just finally got my PhD degree, bought myself a new Cadillac, a 78 DeVille. I had two young children. It was really a fabulous car. And I remember driving up to Lake Tahoe, the Lake Tahoe area in it, and getting off at Soda Springs, for those of you who know, the Highway 80 run. And there's a road behind the Soda Springs exit. You go off in a few miles, and it comes to an abrupt end near Ice Lake. which was called Serene Lakes. Well, there's a road that goes down to an old hot springs area off that road that's made for a four-wheel drive off-road vehicle only. But I thought that this Cadillac could do anything. So here I have two young children, my wife and a friend of mine, and like an idiot, I go down this broken, jutty, pothole-y road. Luckily, it was summertime, all the way down to where there were supposedly some soda springs. Well, there were no soda springs there, and then I said, wait a minute, how the hell am I going to get back up? And, you know, through sheer willpower and force of mind, I swear to God, that car should still be down there 30 years later, rusting as a relic, and we should have been rescued by the CHP. The car made it back to the top of that hill, and I don't know how to this day. Why am I telling you the story? Because I think there's such a thing as the power of mind even over machines. And now let's go back in time to other cars that I've owned. And going back to the old days of the Jaguar, the XK150 drophead coupe, maroon, it was in 63, I remember. I found a picture of it now. Jaguar 1959, New York State, October 1963. At that time, I knew a sort of crooked car guy in Manhattan. I don't know how I met him. An older man. And he had all these exotic cars in this huge garage-like warehouse in Manhattan. And I don't know if he owned them or not. I'm looking back. I think he probably stored them for rich people. And this guy would rent them out by the day to people like me. And they were probably other people's cars because he rented them at pretty low rates. So I rented, you're not going to believe this. You all heard of an AC Cobra, right? He rented to me, here's a picture, March 64, an AC Bristol. Now, the AC Bristol was the body in which the Cobra was built, as you know, you car nuts. A Ford engine was dropped into this very light, remarkable machine, the AC Bristol. So here it is, March 64, off the Turnpike, Jersey Turnpike, and I used to race the car up and down the highways. I loved that car. It was so light. Here's a picture of me with a racing stripe on the Bristol with my friend Mel, since dead, sitting on his Morgan Plus 4 with gloves. I love Mel. Mel died a long time ago. Mel married the daughter of a very famous middleweight champion who I will not mention. I was at their wedding. And it was, the man was Italian, the boxer, very famous, world famous. How Mel scored his daughter, I'll never understand. He was a good-looking kid, rugged-looking boy. I guess he looked like the father when he was young. So anyway, I'm in the office, the rabbi's chambers, with Mel, the boxer, and the boxer's daughter marrying Mel and the rabbi. And I was, I guess, the best man or whatever you would call it. So the guy is doing the ceremony, and I was so impressed to be in a room. This guy, remember, was a hero of mine. My father and I watched fights when I was a kid, and this guy was the world-famous champion. So here I'm sitting in a room with a rabbi, no less, and the guy's not Jewish. I didn't know what to make of the whole scene, but I'll never forget what he said, this great boxer, when he was asked to put his hand, or his daughter to put her hand, on the Bible. This great old boxer, he was not old at the time, said, yes, he said, that is the book of the Rock of Ages. I'll never forget it. He said, yes, my daughter is putting her hand on the Rock of Ages. That stuck with me, right? Just an amazing, amazing little story, you know. The car brought that back. And, of course, he's dead, Mel. They got divorced years later. I lost touch when I left New York years later. Don't know what happened to any of them. But I heard he died a number of years ago, you know, the way of all flesh after many a summer dies the swan. So we covered the Bristol. We covered the Morgan Plus 2, which Mel had. Now, I rented one from that crooked car dealer in Manhattan. And I'll never forget this story. It's a beautiful story of me in a car, a man in his machine. Winter, New York, snow on the ground in Central Park, New York. Me and Mel racing through Central Park in our Morgans. Can you imagine doing that today? Anyway, we raced in the snow, and I remember skidding along the snow on purpose, cornering in a light snow. What a beautiful memory, huh? So now we speed the clock up way, way forward. I'm a very well-known talk show host, best-selling author, older guy, and I get in the year, I think 2007 or 9, I do not remember. It's a Ferrari F430 red. incredible car. There's not much I can say about it other than it was a spectacular machine. Here I have one picture of it left, and there's no date on this picture. I love these Kodak pictures which have dates on them. Well, already this has no date on it. The early ones, you know, were dated by the machine. But it's a Kodak prior to an iPhone camera. That was a great car. There's not a lot of stories to tell. I drove it very, very, very quietly. I never really raced that car. I never did very much with it. I kept it like a garage queen. And then I have a Bentley Flying Spur, which I bought in 2016. You say, now you're boasting. Now, I got to tell you about this car. Remember, I was a poor kid who grew up driving old Jaguars, trying to be English nobility. God knows why I'd want to be them. They're all degenerates anyway. But the Mark 9 was a copy of the old Bentleys, the old Jag, the Mark 9s, what they look like with the picnic tables and the wood and this, the leather. You get in it, you're like, you can get intoxicated by the leather and wood smell. So I finally bought a new Bentley Flying Spur 2016, which I will not sell. It's the finest driving machine I've ever owned in my life in terms of comfort. You do not feel the road. It's like flying on a cloud. And it's all around a great car. I went to look at a new one last year, like I needed like a hole in the head. I'll be honest with you, it didn't ride as well as the 2016. Why? There was more steel in the cars even a few years ago than there are now. They've increased the amount of aluminum. It felt lighter. It didn't feel as solid on the road. And that's the end of that story. There's not much more to say about it. Nor is there much more to say about cars other than I've always loved them. They've always been a big part of my life. I know all about climate change and the global warming, and they're all full of crap. And Bernie Sanders flies around in chartered jets, and he can, you know what? He can suck a tailpipe as far as I'm concerned, these lying bums. After destroying us with COVID, now they want to destroy us with this bull crap about global warming. Global warming. Okay. Now, I know there was a heat wave recently up in the Northwest, which proves definitively nothing. Did you know that in 1875 or 6 or 7, it was so hot in the Central Valley of California that the corn stalks exploded from the heat? That was before Henry T. Ford. Have a nice day. I hope you've enjoyed Savage Cars. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.